put your hands up like this. Three. There you go. Holler real loud. You may be seated. That'll keep your blood circulating now till I can get through here. We got a lot to cover. That is interesting stuff, and I got just a couple of things I need to add to it. What the great Kohan Benjamin brought. One thing, there's 20 in NATO oil tankers on fire in Pakistan. This is the kind of hatred we see in the world today. The brain damage that's done by these parasites that the Kohan was speaking about. You saw in the shooting, the young man that killed the people in Arizona. The scientists say that it's known that 5 out of every 100 people are sick in the mind in that same way. Now, there's actually more than that, and they show that there's more than that, but there's 5 out of every 100 people that's in the same shape as that boy that planned this mass murder. And of course, many of those, as I said, could have their fingers on nuclear bombs right now, the triggers of nuclear bombs. That's the shape the world is getting in right now at this time. And we're only seeing and hearing of a little bit of this. Another thing has taken place from the same sickness. The flu death toll more than doubles in the last month, in December. More than doubled in December. This is something else that's coming from the sickness, the defilement of that mankind is passing on to the animal population. This should wake a few people up right now. It says surgeons looking for a suspected tumor inside a woman's brain were shocked when they pulled out a worm instead. Now, they went on to say that the experts said, they could have got this from their Bibles, but they don't believe the Bible. The Pope has told them don't believe it. Experts said worms can come from eating pork. P-O-R-K, the swine. Leviticus 11. Would you imagine the scripture to be true? Wow! The scripture is actually true. Caused from eating pork or by people who do not wash their hands after they use the bathrooms. Where did the worm come from there? From the same locations, of course. Unclean foods, defilement of the earth. This one should wake some people up, too. This now Adrino Gazia of the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich reports that mice exposed to 10 minutes to aerosol containing as little as 2.5% brain tissue from mice with scrapies. Scrapies is a form of mad cow, remember? So let me read that again. Just 10 minutes exposure to an aerosol containing scrapies and a very small percentage, 2.5% brain tissue from mice with scrapies all develop disease within months. All develop the mad cow disease, the scrapies disease in goats. They call it goats and sheep. Scrapies and mad cow, it's called prions or mad cow disease. We were amazed, he said, at how efficient they spread. Workers in mills that process potentially infected carcasses may need more respiratory protection. So they're saying it's being, it is being processed. It's going to the grocery stores. The people that work in there need to start wearing some gas masks to keep the prions out of their face while they're fooling with these animals that they're going to sell you to eat. Is that clear? Wow. And they still don't get the picture. Would they could hear this information that the Kohan Benjamin brought out. Just 1 minute. This is more on the article. Further studies was done. Just 1 minute exposure to the prions was enough to infect all the mice. Reports in the journal PLOS Pathogens. The longer the exposure lasted, the sooner the mice developed symptoms of VCJD. The mice who inhale prions got sick with an efficiency that I personally find rather surprising and almost frightening, he said. Almost frightening. I think it's time that they started getting a little bit frightened. Something else. Now, of course, the House of Yahweh started this years ago. And in fact, I started telling you before we ever moved to this location, back in the mobile sanctuary and then in Abilene, that we needed to get ready for what's coming. And of course, the government, who this guy says wants to keep you dumbed down, that's the way he put it, they don't want to tell you anything, but they're getting ready for it. Our government tells us virtually nothing, he says. I think on purpose for their new world order that they have planned. This is a newspaper. I don't want to report which one. Anyway, it's a great article the man wrote. We can get chosen ones a copy if you want it. So what is a rational individual to do? Now, without telling too much, of those who started helping with us in the past, they know what we've done. We started keeping it a little bit secret when certain ones left the house and then started exposing what we were doing and telling lies about it and so forth. But we started getting ready for these days several years ago, and now there are those out there that are recommending this. So he says, what is a rational individual to do? Work to develop alternative income streams instead of the 9-to-5 jobs always being there. Try to have about 6 months cash on hand. Make sure you have enough firearms and ammunition for each member of family. Store food. Learn how to raise food. Hunt and fish. Reduce your TV time to no more than a few hours per day. I'd suggest if you're going to watch TV, bathe while the news is on and watch TV at the same time. But don't drop your handsets in the bathtub. There's nothing else on that I know of that's fit to watch unless it is the news that would help to improve your mind. And most of this guy covers it, how the mainstream news won't report anything that's beneficial. They're all paid to report a certain thing and to make the beastly system look good, and that's what they're doing. Traditional mainstream news service, he said, avoid traditional mainstream news service who are intent on keeping you dumbed down, and choose mainly independent news services. You almost have to have a satellite to get it, but you can get it otherwise, internet and so forth. Develop a survival mindset, including how to survive a nuclear attack. Develop your relationship stronger so they can stand the test of the coming stresses. We've seen some that quit and run, but I know they'll be back wanting food later, and that's the bad part. He says, stay off of the freeways. He said, they are death traps. They will be death traps at that time. You need an escape route that takes you through neighborhoods you know will be safe for a time. Being among the first to leave, and you know, the other article was saying, don't move, don't go anywhere. The survivalists tell you a different story. They say you better have your route picked out and be ready to leave and get out of there in the first 40 minutes. Being among the first to leave will help to ensure that roads are not blocked by the military. Store enough gasoline and cans in your garage to get you to wherever you already have planned to be your next retreat. Recycle the contents every 6 months, that's in gasoline, and use gas stabilizers because gasoline deteriorates fairly rapidly. Keep your escape vehicle gassed up and well serviced at all times. A battery-powered emergency radio is a must. Include weapons, ammunition, and in the gas vehicle and the vehicle escape vehicle. Include weapons and ammunition. You will need them, rest assured, he said. Food, gasoline, bullets, gold, that sort of thing. A few hours preparation today may spell the difference between life and death, yours and your family. If you're a mind to, now would be an excellent time to move your family to an area like to be among the safer in the country, regardless of what may happen. That will not include any city of any serious size. This information will place you well ahead of the 40% that now depend on the government feed through and outside the human disaster that will occur in the inner cities when there is no food at the grocery and the rioters come to steal big screen televisions and Nike shoes, beer and bread. Remember, when disaster strikes, the time to prepare has passed already. We still have private counseling for those who want to help in this program, but no more open show. I want you to get in mind that there's two trees, of course, in the Garden of Eden. There's two trees in the world right now. There's one, the house of Yahweh, the tree of life. The other, of course, is Satan's weapons that she has all over the world. She has many, and as Amos said, or Moshe said, will this disaster be in a city and Yahweh not have a work there? And Yahweh says, most assuredly, there's not going to be but the one work that is prophesied. Now, you can rest assured that's it. That's the work. Got an excellent article, praise Yahweh, from Bible Encyclopedia that I want to read you, that because others understand, I didn't know it, but others do understand this. One work, even though it's been translated differently from time to time, they say it's a lie. Said they're lying. It's they're adding to it, and said the Standard Revised Version is one of them that misleads. But here, if you remember in Genesis, Satan said, you know, has Yahweh said this? Well, of course, Satan, of course, or her leaders were saying, as they do today, has Abel said this? And of course, then they tried to make out like the house of Yahweh is a big lie, a big joke, They're dirty, nasty people who live with dogs and don't let the dogs go out of the house. I wonder what's going on in that house. Remember when the persecution first hit the house of Yahweh? That's what all three televisions said about the house of Yahweh. Well, their work, Satan's work, of course, is to try to destroy. And when you find somebody talking down the house of Yahweh, you can rest assured Yeshua spoke of them when he said, your teacher is Satan the devil, and what Satan wants you to do, that's what you're going to do. It's like the boy that went on the mass killing spree. Their minds are fogged already. They are confused. They have worms in their brains. They have things that Yahweh has not guarded them against, so they have it. And of course, Satan has them to use at any time. And of course, we're being careful to protect everyone, but you are putting your life at risk when you go to Yahweh's house unless you have his protection. And of course, we pray for that big time all the time. But the Pope is out saying, trying to cast doubt on the prophets. That's his job. And rest assured, he's doing it well. The psychological moves that I've seen this week is amazing. The Abilene Reporter News ran a story. This was written by a cardinal, a Catholic cardinal, who was trying to, and this was the Abilene Reporter News is doing, they were trying to make out like that only a few evil priests were in the Catholic Church, with all the thousands of rapes of boys that's going on. I guess people keep their head in the sand, but they will read something like Abilene Reporter News and think, "Oh yeah, that was just." But the Pope is good, you know, and the gods he worships is good, and they're fixing to make another god out of the last one that died. The god Jesus and Krishna were Egyptian pharaohs. That was the one that they used to replace the Yeshua's name. And they're still worshiping him. If you haven't read this and you think, why did they build these pyramids? Did you ever study this? And did you ever think why this is going on and why they put these slaves, his favorite slaves, in the pyramids with him and kill them, and so he could take them to heaven with him so we can pray to him to get our prayers answered? And the prophet said, why would you pray to the dead for the living? That don't make any sense, they said. Well, they've got to cast doubt on the prophets. And this is the reason they persecuted the prophets, because the prophets said, no, these people are dead and buried. You're worshiping the dead who know nothing, he said. This is what the prophet said about the dead. Well, they're trying to make this last pope that died, he's just one more miracle, more miracle. He needs one more miracle, and he can be declared a god in heaven, so you can go to him in prayer. Well, somebody said they went to his grave, his casket, immediately after he died, and they said, I was healed. I was healed from a headache that normally lasts me 7 days. Or 2 hours. Isn't this a miracle? Of course it is. But he needs one more. Anyone else want to lie about him? Come forward and give us some more lies. Remember what Thessalonians said. It's a bunch of lies. It's mystic. It's the mystery of iniquity. And please keep in mind what iniquity is. Iniquity is somewhat different than sin. Iniquity is sin. But iniquity is doing away with the law. It's pushing it aside. It's ignoring the fact that Yahweh says, go to the place I choose to place my name, and there keep my Sabbath every seventh day. Push that aside, and you have committed iniquity. Break it. Don't go. Don't go to that place, and you've committed sin. Sin is the breaking of the law. Iniquity is pushing it aside. Iniquity is teaching it to be non-existent. That's the Pope's job. As Abel said, you've got to go to the place that Yahweh chooses to place his name there? Yes. Has Abel said that you got to find that place in prophecy? Yes. So that kind of narrows it down, doesn't it? You can't just go to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. You can't go to every Cracker Box or Nut Patch. The Big Bang. Well, here is, now get to psychology here. And also, if you read that article in Abilene Reporter News, try to see that he is covering up, they're covering up what the Catholic Church really is. They want you to think there were just a few bad priests. No, they're all filled with iniquity. The whole world is deceived and filled with iniquity. That's what your scripture says. And everyone who disbelieves the one sent in the last days is a fool, your Savior said. They think they're going to have salvation, but they're not. That's simple. Yahweh shows you the way to salvation. And if you want to go the other way, you can. The choice is yours. And that's what he showed you in Genesis. Has Abel said this? Oh, Yahweh is lying. That's that bunch that lives with dogs over there. Never let them out of their house. They're dirty, nasty people. Come go with us and be like the gods. And the gods are the ones that they keep memorials for the dead. They're dead. They're worthless. They're worthless. They can't work miracles. They can't do anything. They know nothing. Their brain is blank. The Pope said that God, it says, God behind the Big Bang, Pope Benedict the 16th said. Well, he tries to make out like that this was some kind of accident that he says God was behind. And there was a Big Bang, and this is what started the universe to growing. And, of course, what was there if nothing was created? This doesn't make any sense. Where did he get the bang? Where did he get the firecracker? What was there to cause? Well, there's the dust. Well, who created the dust then? If there was nothing, who created something? It's all senseless, but they can use things like this to make you not believe the scriptures. And that's his job. That's the job of the Pope today, to keep you from believing. They don't believe. They don't believe, but they want to. And of course, in that result, you know, they of course break Yahweh's laws. They want you to turn to break Yahweh's laws. That's Satan's job, and she's doing it well. But if the Bible is not true, as the Pope says, from what other source is their salvation? Now, the Big Bang Theory, if you realize what they're trying to do here, they're trying to knock out the Sabbath, which they hate. They hate the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, appointment with Yahweh, more than anything else in all the laws of the Holy Scripture. Because if you keep the Sabbath the way Yeshua kept the Sabbath, in making it, coming to Yahweh's house, and making it a blessing to others, you start living an unselfish life. Yes. Then you start preparing, like we have been preparing for years, getting ready for what Yahweh tells us to do and how he tells us to do it. So if he can knock out you coming to the Sabbath, then you start dying spiritually. Your brain starts dying. Whatever there was left of it starts dying off. So you have no contact. You've cut yourself off from contact with Yahweh totally. So if it can make you think that this was a big bang that took place over millions of years instead of how the prophet said it, then he can knock out the Sabbath day totally. Because Yahweh says in 6 days he created the heaven and the earth. And all the earth and all that involves the earth. The heavens that involves the earth is the way that prophecy is written. Then he rested the seventh day and blessed the seventh day forever. It's an eternal appointment of blessings if we want to partake of it. I have explained to you how Yahweh created the earth in 7 days. Everything he said he created in 7 days, he did. Everything he said he created on the first day, the evening and the morning, he did. I have explained that in detail. Yahweh first, before he created the earth, he created microorganisms. If you remember, Yahshua had power over microorganisms. He could command them and they could hear him. Think of the scripture. Even the wind obeys. You can't see the wind, but the wind could hear Yahshua. The wind is made up of what he calls a firmament, things that are in the firmament. And we know that message is science. He says it can't be proved scientifically. He's lying. Science can prove that through this firmament, messages are sent to microenzymes and they come to certain places and do a job. One rotten peach on a tree will tell you that, Mr. Pope. Use your brain. Hit yourself on the head and see if you can get it to working and just look around you at what's taking place. Yahweh, Yahshua, said to mankind, he said, they hear my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Well, Yahweh, with his power, who made all of these things, who tells the maggot what to eat and have joy in doing it. And I pointed all of this out to you before. There's tapes available in detail that you can get that will prove this to you. But Yahweh created all of the enzymes, and one of the prophets said, or Yahshua said, no, one of the apostles said, that he could take these rocks and make men out of them instantly that would follow him. Those rocks are made of dust. It's alive. Science knows it's alive. In fact, science knows that beam right there that we're watching that looks like it's dead. It's not. It's alive. Biology. Even back in the fourth grade, I remember this. Biology taught that everything is alive. You may think it's dead, but it's not. And if you could reduce yourself to the size of a microorganism, which they were just discovering in that time period, then these things would be hitting you in the face and you could see them and feel them. Well, Yahweh has control of all of this, like Yahshua had control of the wind, like he had control of the fish in the sea. And he says, bring up that, go out there to a certain place, find me a coin that you know where it is, bring it back in your mouth, give it to the apostle so he can go pay his taxes. That's how much control that Yahweh and Yahshua had over these microenzymes, fish, everything. Say to this mountain, move. He would be saying to an innumerable amount of enzymes, move over. Move over to another place. And they would do it. Because they hear his voice. Yes, as the wind hears his voice and can destroy a tree, a house, a building, everything. He can make the wind do anything he wants to. He guides it. The scriptures say this. Why won't they read their scriptures and believe? Because they're fools. They're fools and they want to remain in that foolishness. When Yahweh told the enzymes to form mankind, they did in one day. When he took a rib from Adam and told the enzymes in it to form the woman, it did. They did. They obeyed his voice. They moved like lightning. Lightning. Is lightning dead? It's most certainly not. It's very much alive. Get caught out in it and you'll see how alive it is. And Yahweh has power over it.
Well, he says, you know that, let me read you what he says. He says, Benedict has worked to integrate modern scientific theories into religious teaching, saying that God is responsible for evolution, and that I know some gods that are responsible for teaching evolution, but they, and that the Bible story of the world's creation in 6 days is allegory. It's just alleged. It's not proven. Well, hopefully none of you would believe that. No one of the millions that are hearing my voice right now, hopefully none of you will believe that. Hopefully you will be as Yeshua said in Luke 24, verse 25, you're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. Well, this shows what the Pope is. It shows what all the religions of the earth are. Yahweh doesn't pull any punches. He tells you the truth. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar. I didn't say he was a liar. Yahweh said he was a liar, and I believe that what Yahweh said. In Genesis, I want to show you, go back there, and the Pope is working exactly as Satan worked. Of course, it was Cain at that time that was the big organization. That took this message out, that saying Yahweh is lying, that the gods told him that you could be like them, that you had immortal life living in you, and you won't die, and then when you go to heaven, we'll worship you as a god. Well, all the world is gone as the way of Cain, so you can tell who they're worshiping. That's scriptural in First Yochanan or First John if you have a King James Bible. But here, the serpent, in verse 1, he's more subtle, more crafty. Well, that's what you see in these articles, and the one in Abilene Reporter News that's trying to whitewash the sodomy that's going on in the Catholic Church. They believe in this. They teach it. It goes on. It has gone on for thousands of years. It was shown by the prophets and Jeremiah himself, Jeremiah, if you have a King James Version, 23, verses 14 and 15, shows you that this was going on in Israel at the time that it came from Egypt, where all of their God worship came with them out of Egypt. And of course, they started teaching it to everyone that would listen. But the ones in Galilee wouldn't listen, so they persecuted them. Well, here he says, he shows how he is and how even the apostles said, some among you will do this. Even some among you will be this crafty servant of Satan that will speak against the work of Yahweh. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yahweh said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it. We know from Yeshua's and the apostles' work, he's talking about the house of Yahweh and, of course, the religious organizations of Satan that he allowed in the world, which is spread throughout the world. But Yahweh says, I will only have the one I've prophesied. He doesn't need to convert everyone at this time. He wants to allow them to go their way and prove what sin brings. That's the reason he's allowing the Pope to deceive the world as he is doing. Verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman. Well, this was her preachers that was doing this. The houses were well established at that time with populations and so forth, as many of the intelligent people who have figured out the numbers and the ages of each scripture and the population at that time show. So Cain had his work. Abel had his work. And this was the house of Yahweh and the other houses that weren't of Yahweh. Look on down to verse 5. He said, he knows, Yahweh knows, that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened
we have the truth over here, see? Come, we have the truth. And you will be as gods if you will just do,
if you'll just come away from the work prophesied, come away from that work and join us. So the whole world has gone the way of Cain as a result of not believing the prophets. If they'd believed the prophets, then they would not be deceived. But they would not believe that this was, as Yahweh said, the tree of life. So in verse 7, they sinned. Sinned. That word naked in the King James Version, the word naked, it actually means sinned what is it? The theological word book of the Old Testament. That's one that shows it. It means sin. Volume 2, page 695. But it also means to take crafty counsel. Take crafty counsel. And of course, this crafty counsel will tell you that the work of Yahweh is liars. They're dirty, nasty people and so forth, as they're doing right now. Well, verse 8 now. Then on that day they heard the way of Father Yahweh according to the word of Yahweh. This was coming from Abel, being proclaimed in the garden. So Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh among the trees of the garden. Well, they say that the Pope says there's a discrepancy in creation here. And of course, he doesn't understand that he shows him and shows the two houses over here in chapter 4. This is the way Yahweh wrote it, here a little and there a little, so they could have an excuse to go the other way and say, oh, you don't believe them prophets. Don't believe the prophets. So he doesn't believe the prophets. Well, Yahweh said, and his apostles were in Sparta. Let's go over to 2 Kepha. 2 Kepha. He doesn't believe the apostles either, even though they say that Peter was the first pope. Well, that's Kepha's the one they named Peter. So they don't believe the first pope. Well, who do they believe? The 16th? Benedict the 16th. I guess they could believe that one maybe, or the one, the 17th now. Which one down through the years are they going to believe? Or maybe it's the pharaohs that they can believe. The pharaohs now, they denied Yahweh. And of course, they're the gods that the people turn to worship. They're dead. They don't hear anything. You know, there's never answered prayer from them. So how do we get the miracles? How do we get the miracles? Two ways that Yahweh shows. Two ways that we get miracles. One of them is Yahweh can do it. The other one is Satan can do it. Her demons can work miracles. And the other way is the magicians, which the world seems to be full of at this time. And they're the ones that brought forth the miracles to Pharaoh in the time of Moshe. And Moshe didn't believe any of them. But here now, in second Kepha, remember what the Pope is saying. 2 Kepha 1, and look at verse 21. He says, let's go back to verse 19. We also have the prophetic word. This is what you should believe. Made more sure, which we do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place unto that day. Well, that's a little bit mistranslated. Light may arise in the hearts of you, is the way it should have been translated. But verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So why do you see so many interpretations? Well, of course, they don't know the Scriptures. They don't know what the prophet said, so they don't know any. They can't guide themselves by what the prophet says, not knowing the Bible, like Yahweh tells them to do.
Look at verse 21. For the prophecy did not come in former times by the will of man. Could you believe that, Mr. Pope, from your first pope, as you say, he's the first pope? Peter, this is Peter I'm reading from. In the King James Version, it was used the word Peter. His name was actually Kepha, and he doesn't believe anything the popes ever taught. In fact, he fought against them, as I do today. Notice it did not come in former times by the will of man. No, it's not an allegory. It's not an alleged something another. It's not a make-believe or a theory as you teach in your colleges. The theory, like the theory of evolution, theologians, that's what you call yourselves in the colleges. It's not theory, it's fact. How does it prove itself? By fulfilled prophecy. like the bomb that is supposed to be invented in this generation that's going to be dropped on your place over there. That's what the prophecy says. It's coming. You better get out of there. You better read Revelations 18, and you better take heed. That's the way the Scripture proves itself. The Scripture from the prophets prove itself. No one but Yahweh can foretell the future, Mr. Pope, or what came before the future. He tells what's behind also. He gives you that. The prophecy did not come in former times by the will of man. This is your first pope that wrote this, Mr. Pope, as you call him. Mr. Pope. That pope was not, he was not a pope. He fought against it. He fought against everything you're doing today, including this great cover-up that you're trying to make everyone disbelieve the prophets. But holy men of Yahweh, holy men of Yahweh. You know, it was always Yahweh's prophets against Baal's prophets. You know who Baal is? Lord, the Lord. You know who Lord is? Rabbis, dead rabbis. Yes, the most high and mighty of the rabbis were, that's where the word Lord came from. Hebrew, Adonai. And God, Elohim, Hebrew Elohim, holy men of Yahweh spoke as they were moved by Holy Spirit. You do always resist the Holy Spirit, don't you, Pope? You always resist it, as the prophet said you would. Look over to 2 Kepha. Now this, too, was written by the one you said was your first pope. 2 Kepha, he says, and look at verse 21 there, 2 verse 21. For it would have been better for them, speaking of your forefathers, of our forefathers that came out of Egypt, of which went to Israel, Jerusalem. Then you burnt the temple down and you took your artifacts, the artifacts of the temple, to Rome. We know all of this in the house of Yahweh. You took the artifacts to Rome, where you still got them stored. You had the law given to you according to your first pope here, for it would have been better if you had kept them. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, which they did. It was given to them when they were brought out of Egypt. Then after they have known it, to turn from the holy laws. Notice they're called holy laws by Kepha, delivered unto them. There has befallen them the thing spoken of in the true proverb by one of the prophets that you should believe. A dog turns to his own vomit. Yes, when you leave the house of Yahweh, you're like a dog turning to your own vomit. A sow is washed only to wallow again in the mire, get filthy again with the filthy world. Surely you can see how filthy the world is getting from the diseases that are taking place. So the Pope don't believe in the apostles either. They don't believe the prophet, nor do they believe the Savior who said, "You're a fool. You're a fool, Pope, if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken." No, it's not alleged. It's true. Absolutely true. Read Luke 24, verse 25. That's the Savior speaking. The true Savior, Yeshua, wrote that. Savior, the great example. Look over to Hebrews now. Hebrews. Now, we studied part of this because the work in the last days includes the Savior and two brothers he calls witnesses that the Scripture seems to be absolutely stocked with hidden prophecies concerning this last day's work. And the more once you see some of these prophecies concerning the two witnesses and the Savior together, then it seems like every time you read, you see it going back to that. You'll see remarks made here and there, here a little and there a little. But here in Hebrews, speaking of the Savior, he says, "Yahweh, who at various times and different ways spoke in times past." Notice it's Yahweh that spoke. "He spoke in times past to our fathers through the prophets." Yahweh was speaking to them through the prophets. "And then had it written for us, the written word of the prophets. But he has in these last days spoken to us through the prophesied Son." The prophesied Son. That is Yeshua, Messiah, whom he has appointed heir of all things, for whom he also made the world. He made this for mankind. Made the world for mankind. Speaking of the earth and, of course, the planets involving the earth. "Who being the reflection of the perfection of Yahweh," that lawful owner is the way that it could be translated, "who made it the lawful owner and the representation of Yahweh, of Yahweh's plan, by upholding all things concerning that which was spoken by Yahweh, even concerning himself, through the law and the prophets, when he had purged sin." But notice that it's spoken, Yahweh spoke these things through the prophets. Yahweh, this was Yahweh's doing. There's one thing we have to admit is that some places were changed. But Yahweh made it possible for us to see these changes. And of course, we have the books now that actually you can actually see the things that wasn't changed. And the scholars actually can see this. Worldly scholars who study this, the writing, they can see this and they can know. They also know that, like I was showing you last week, and this is proven, putting in certain translations, that the name that they translated Joshua was actually the same as the Savior, Yeshua, and they admit that even in their translations they admit it. And I showed it to you last week. Get that sermon if you didn't get it, and you need the last 2 weeks' sermon. I brought more out about the two witnesses and Yahshua's work, Yahweh's work through Yahshua in the last days in those two sermons than I have in the others. I'd brought all of it out before, but it was along with other subjects. Now, verse 4, "becoming so much better than the Malachim, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name," that is authority, "than they," authority, spoken of in Genesis. Genesis, the first chapter, give him authority, that give mankind. And he said, "I've got this because I am the Son of Man." Verse 5, "For example, to which of the Malachim did he ever say, 'You are my son, I today, I have become your father,' And again, I myself shall become his father, and he himself will become my son. But when he again brings his firstborn into the inhabited world, he says, let all the Malachim of Yahweh worship him. Worship him. That's one of the things they accuse us of doing in the house of Yahweh, is worshiping one another. I think maybe they don't know what the word worship means. But yes, I do worship anyone who comes that I know Yahweh is called, because worship means serve. It means serve in book one and book two. And you bet, I'm going to serve everyone that I can. Everyone who comes here that I thinks of Yahweh. I don't seek glory. I seek to give glory and honor to those who deserve it, as Yahweh himself does. That's another thing we've been accused of. But not so. I've never, ever. I know that those who love me honor me as Yahweh's servant. So now that we got that straightened out, we'll go on here. But to the Son, he says, the throne of your Father is forever a scepter of righteousness. Righteousness is, remember, righteousness is keeping the law. Don't let any pope deceive you, as 1 Yochanan said. Don't let any man, hopefully they're men, don't let any man deceive you. 1 Yochanan, or 1 John, if you have a King James Version, verse 7 and 8, he says, don't let any man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, but he who practices sin is of Satan. Well, of course, the Pope and all the Catholic Church practice sin. They don't claim to keep the law. 1 John 3:4 says sin is the breaking of the law. That's what all religions of the earth do. They break one law or another. James, if you have a King James Version, the James and the King James, the Jacob, if you have a Book of Yahweh, is his right name. 2 verse 10 says if you break one law, you're guilty of breaking them all. You become a part of the system. So if you practice breaking one law, then you're guilty of breaking all the laws. And you belong to Satan the devil. That's where all the religions belong at this time. That's what the Savior says himself. Your teacher is Satan. And what your teacher tells you to do, you're going to do. And he said that to your fathers. But to the Son, he says, your throne is a scepter of righteousness. Righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Righteousness, the keeping of the laws, he says to us, that's what we inherit, righteousness. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. That's doing away with the law. As Daniel said, that this powerful system, who finally became known as the Holy Roman Empire, did away with the laws of Yahweh. Constantine was their leader. Therefore, Yahweh, your Father, has anointed you with the oil of gladness, more than your companions. And you, Yahweh, in the beginning, did you get that? And you, Yahweh, it was Yahweh that did this. If you hadn't removed the name Yahweh from the scriptures, then this would be more readily knowledge to you, as Yahweh being the one that did this. You, Yahweh, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. Those who are wicked, which that means those who break the laws, who practice iniquity, will perish because of their sins. But you, Yahweh, will remain. Well, this as a combination. Oh, I've got to read you one more thing.
because this leads up to this. This is a work. I did not do this work. It comes from Interpreter's Bible Dictionary, and it's under the word work of Yahweh. And they actually use the name Yahweh in Interpreter's Bible Dictionary. I guess it's hated like we are, too. But he says, the word work, although it's translated works, he says, it's not. It's work. It's only one. More often than not, the expression is, in the singular, the work of Yahweh is one whole work, sometimes where the MT has the construct plural. There are MSS, which we have several of these. I notice David Yehuda has used several of these that they named here, where they got this information. It's studying, the scholars studying each other's work. He says there are MSS which have the singular, where some have changed it because they thought it should be works. It's actually, others show that it's not. This is how they know when something has been changed, because the majority wasn't changed. And this is the original reading, that is singular work. The forms, thy works can be construed as singular in every instance. The word, now this is speaking of the word or the laws, the word are not the words of Yahweh, like the work of Yahweh is individual, though its manifestation may vary in to cover several aspects of the work, of the work. A typical passage is Judges 2, verse 7 and verse 10. Elders who outlived Joshua or Yahshua, that's the one that took Moshe's place after he died. And he gives another that I want you to turn to. Isaiah 5, I got it marked, so I'll find it here. Isaiah 5 and verse 12. Now notice he says, the harp, the lyre, the tambourine, and the flute, and wine are in their feast, but they do not regard the work of Yahweh. They want their wine and their music and their songs and their play. That's the reason the priest says, hey, let's get rid of this. We're having too much trouble with it. Let's take it out. We don't need it at this time. We need Yahweh's truth at this time. We don't need miracles. We don't need miracles. We don't need music. We don't need wine. Somebody said they weren't coming back when we decided or asked the people to stop using wine at the feast till further notice. Another one stopped because we told him not to smoke marijuana anymore because it's ruining his brain. whatever they choose, I guess. You always said they're the ones that chose it. Do not regard the work. They have all of these things at their feast, but they don't regard the work of Yahweh. What's it speaking of? Yahshua said, I'll skip some of this, we'll cover it later. But Yahshua said, the Father works and I work. Where is he talking about? The Sabbath day. It's so hard to get people to keep the Sabbath the way Yahshua kept the Sabbath. They want to lollygag around, drink wine, beer, smoke marijuana, I guess, or whatever, but they don't want to work. They forget about Yahweh's work. The way you make the Sabbath a blessing to others is you serve as Yahshua. Yes, he set the perfect example. Remember, he was the perfect example of Yahweh. That was Yeshua. We just read about the first chapter of Hebrew. He was the shining example, the great example of Yahweh here on earth in the form of mankind. He was the Son of Man, but he was without sin. He had his total life geared to work, to serve as Yahweh did, making the Sabbath, the feast, and so forth, a blessing to others. What a beautiful way to bring peace and joy to other people. Well, they forget the work. They do not regard the work of Yahweh, nor consider the operation of his hands. They have all of this other, but they just forget the work. Well, of course, this article brought this out, but something else I've got to get to you here that he brings out, that he gets so close to having the truth. He says, they do not regard the deed singular, the deed singular. He's pointing out that this word work of Yahweh is singular, not plural, not ever plural, they said. The Revised Standard Version has, you know, plural. But they say that's added. It's not true. It can't be translated that way. It's work or word is the same way. It's used the same way. Word of Yahweh or work of Yahweh. The stress is upon Yahweh's work. The stress is upon Yahweh's work as seen in Psalms 28:5, Isaiah 5:19, Job 14:15, and so forth. With reference to Yahweh's work, always reference to Yahweh's work. It's always singular. Yahweh's work is done in faithfulness by loyal people that were praised and honored for doing so, and will be praised and honored by me in honor of Yahweh, who called them, who trained them. Okay, let's see. This one now, Psalms 33:6, if you want to read it. By the word of Yahweh, the heavens were made. By the word. Now, you get this and you understand what this is saying. Turn to that and read it or mark it if you want to in your Holy Scripture. But this is all due to what I saw the Pope trying to do to cause doubt to be on, because he doesn't understand creation. He doesn't understand how Yahweh could create a man in one day just by giving the command, giving the command to what he had already created before. He created the earth, so he had the enzymes that he wanted to work with right there. He could create anything he wanted to with those enzymes in any way, shape, or form, and did. If you'll just look at creation, you'll see all the different things, different little bugs and animals that he created to do jobs on the earth. Jobs that most of us, we never see because we don't have magnifying glasses. And so we have no need of seeing the wind, but the wind is doing its job. Many times sweeping the land of Yahweh clean of and keeping, guarding it from mad cow disease, as I showed you before a few years ago. But mad cow disease is spreading. It's spreading in the grocery stores. They're even giving you warnings about this stuff. Anyone who handles this meat should wear a mask. Well, what about the man that's preparing it or the wife that's preparing it and eating it? This don't make any sense. You talk about confusion to the highest. Protect yourselves from this meat now. It's got prions in it. But take it and sell it? Well, that's the confusion we see in the Pope, too. Okay, the word. By the word. Do you see that? Of Yahweh, the heavens were made. I think this is another version, but it should be in the book of Yahweh too. And all their hosts by the breath of his mouth, by him saying to the wind, quit, stop, be still. And it stopped. The same way with the enzymes. He can decompose a body. It was so fantastic when we saw that film, I thought, that where the body was being decomposed, and we put it in the other way, showing it being composed. We had to run it backwards to show you how Yahweh actually created that first bird. And he could do it in a matter of seconds, just give the command, or a matter of hours. But he did it in one day. He did exactly what the prophet said he did. Yahweh said, Genesis 1, and he uses this, in verse 4, the same psalm, word and work are in parallelism. This summarizes the account of creation in Genesis 1, he said. With it, and Yahweh said, followed by, and Yahweh made. So when he gave the word, man was made. The enzymes that he had control of put that body together. Yes, in one day. Less probably than one day, but it was inside that one day. Action originates in thought, and the formulated thought or word is the middle term between thought and deed. The same applies to wisdom, which is in Proverb 8, is hypothesized and becomes the agent in creation. In the book 2 now, he said, the conclusion of the preceding paragraph is amplified in the prologue to the fourth book. They put gospel, but it's the fourth book of your Bible in book 2, in which the logos, the divine thought or reason, is the creative ground of all existence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh's, and it made flesh. It made flesh. The Word of Yahweh says, put this body together in this shape, gave them the blueprint to go by. He was in the beginning with Yahweh. All things were made through this command. Marvelous. What a marvelous article. The most definitive teaching about the work of Yahweh is to be found in the fourth book. In the fourth book, now y'all know what the fourth book is. That's Yochanan. In the fourth book, get this, I want everyone to get this. The most definitive teaching about the work of Yahweh is found in the fourth book, the works of Yahshua, which are such as no man else has done. That's in Yochanan 15:24. The works which the Father has granted him to accomplish. Remember all the works that we have seen in prophecy where in the last days I will establish my house. And he says to Yahshua, the branch now, use the branch for building the house of Yahweh. That's Zechariah 6 in verse 11 and 12. You saw that last week. To build the house in the last days, he'll branch out and build the house. This is all the works that is prophesied starting in Genesis and coming forward. And in this sense, he says, done by the Father himself. So the work, you sitting here, right here in the audience right now, you are the work of Yahweh. Right now. In that sense. Yes, me and many others have worked for 1,000 years, seems like, to put this together. And everything that you know of, everything that all of you know of. But it was actually Yahweh that was doing this, guiding the whole thing as he shows over and over, and in this sense done by Father himself. Those who believe in Yahshua will do even greater works than he has done. That's chapter 14, verse 12. Greater works than what he has done. In answer to the question, what must we do to be doing the work of Yahweh? Yahshua replied, "This is the work of Yahweh, that you believe into him whom he has sent." Praise Yahweh. When I saw them use that. And he as the scripture 6 and verse 28 and 29, when you have it memorized, I know. When the disciples besought him to eat, he said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who has sent me and to accomplish the work." To accomplish his work, Yahweh's work. That's Yahshua's will. And of course, that's exactly why the house of Yahweh was established, why it has come this far, and why more marvelous things are actually prophesied for those who will believe, of course, who will believe and who will endure, you know, endure in the house, not out of the house, but endure in the house, then you will have your part in this everlasting work of Yahweh, still one work, but growing and being done in bits and pieces all through the time, starting with Abel and ending with the last will be first. You are the last, but you're going to be the first to accomplish this. May Yahweh bless you, brother, and I love you.